Supersonic is a word when people start to listen.
Hey, go, Hoffy. Supersonic. BT and Sal, 1046 on the fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Sal is off this week. 888-808-1019. Time is a moving. It's nice out there today. 50 degrees, 55 tomorrow. Before you know it, guys, Selection Sunday. Yanks and Mets heating up, you know. And we'll get into the final throes of spring training. And we'll be off and running. Right now, we're obviously talking football. So many possibilities, so many issues. Potential stumbling blocks as well for the Jets and the Giants if they don't handle this well. All right, let me get to some of the stuff Joe Shane just said. He said a lot, and then we'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. First up, he is out at the Combine, Indianapolis, and he was asked about just the overall general need. Let me give you this first. I'm sorry. The need for a veteran presence in the building at quarterback.
Yeah, and where we are, Tommy DeVito is our only quarterback on the roster, so you may evaluate both of those. Those both may be options. So, again, we don't know what's going to happen in the draft. We don't know who's going to be there. When we get around these kids, they may or may not be a fit for us. So, we're going to have to address the position somewhere. And even if you get a young quarterback, you'd like to have a vet, in the room with them to show them the ropes and how to be a pro. So, we're looking at all different avenues. It's, hey, is this guy going to be really good for a young quarterback, or is this guy a starter? Or can we get a guy in the draft? Or if we do, should we have a guy that's more of a, a guy that can develop and show a guy how to be a pro? So, we're going to look at, vets, we're going to look at the draft, we're going to look at trade candidates, we're going to look at under every rock to, find the best prospect for us going into the 25 season.
All right, and by the way, is there anything from a football, like executive position, is there anything more unsettling than your job hanging by a string and you have no quarterback? Just think about what these guys are trying to do. Number two, speaking of quarterbacks, the need to draft one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've said it to you guys before. I think it's the most important position in football. And, we have one on our roster right now. And I think that's important wherever we address it, that the play has to be better than what it's been. And, because of injuries, we played four quarterbacks this year. We played three last year. So, it'd be nice to have one guy out there that can, help you, give you the best chance to win games and also stay healthy. So, that is an important position. And we need better play out of that position than what we've had. And that'll help us.
Okay, so that's the quarterback spot. What about just the overall backdrop of starting to win basically three games, three wins, not going to cut it anymore?
Yeah, we've got to be better. We've got to be better. We're a three-win team. So where we are financially, from a salary cap health standpoint, we're in good shape. We have premium draft capital, so not suffocating. We have the resources to improve the roster. And, we made some decisions after that first year when we won, and, they didn't work out. So, again, we're where we are, and again, I feel like we have the resources to improve the roster, and that's what's exciting about this time of year.
All right, that's what they're trying to do here. How about, if not the quarterback, what else are you guys open to at number three in the draft?
No, we're open to everything. Move up, move back. Again, it's an exciting time for year. We're starting to put that together now, put the puzzle together. So, we're going to look at all options to, improve the roster going into 2025.
Okay, and the final one, guys, a little more specific on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into, comparing the guys. We've done a lot of work on those two. I know a lot of people are talking about those two, but there's other quarterbacks, throughout the draft, and excited to get around those guys as well.
All right, I know that he was also asked specifically about Stafford, didn't say a whole lot. Can you say what?
He
nothing,
just
right?
basically punted. He said, got to ask the Rams about that.
Yeah, it's up to the Rams if they don't trade him. He's not wrong, so I didn't think it was worth playing. Just wanted to make sure we had that. All right, good job on that Hoff getting the sound. BT and Sal. All the fans, get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Let's bounce out to Bayonne. John, what's going on?
BT, you just hit the nail on the head with Stafford. The Rams would love to keep him, but he wants $50 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how last year when they took Mayfield, they wanted to re-sign him, but they couldn't. And look what he's doing. He's lighting it up. So I think either the Jets or the Giants, but mostly the Jets, should make a deal with the Rams and the Jaguars. And we get Trevor Lawrence. They get Matt Stafford. They get Jacksonville's pick in the first round. And we go from there. As far as anything, it helps the Rams big time because we'll go with Jimmy or Trevor. And then We get rid of Stafford, and he goes to the Giants, and he's still got it in him.
Mm-hmm.
He still got it in him.
Oh, yeah, he could definitely still play. There's no Matthew Stafford could still play. The one thing that I don't get, John, thanks for the call. And, you know, you don't really get a lot of this pushback in the NBA. Maybe we're just so, I don't know, conditioned to accept some of these bloated salaries in the other sports. But can somebody, and I'm not saying John just did this, but some of you have, can you explain to me why oh my God, we can't pay Matthew Stafford $50 million? There's no way we could do that. Why not? Look at some of the NBA salaries for next year. You've got, and now some of them certainly deserve them, or deserve what they're making. Damian Lillard, I mean, much respect for Dame. He's an all-time boulder, but, you know, he's just not the same guy. Damian Lillard's going to make $60 million next season. 60! How about even Kevin Durant, who's still, you know, still a big scorer, but he's not quite what he was. $55 million. Bradley Beal, yeah, it worked out well. He's on the books for $53 million next year. I mean, I know we all love Karl-Anthony Towns' offense, but, you know, what about some of the other stuff? Cat's on the books for $53 million. Kawhi Leonard's making $50 as well. Would you rather have Kawhi Leonard or Matthew Stafford relative to the specific sport? I don't know why people push back so much on quarterback salaries. And it's not just because there's a salary cap in football, there's a salary cap in basketball. I don't get it. That always confounds me. Steve's in Crown Heights. What's happening, Stevie?
Hey, great show, BT Sal. So, you know, I don't think the Jets, well, they're hoping that Sanders is gone. I think they hope for them. They hope that the Giants take Sanders at 3, assuming that Tennessee takes Cameron at 1. They don't want this circus, quote-unquote circus. Yeah. They didn't want Aaron Rodgers, you know, Aaron Glenn didn't want Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly doesn't want the Sanders.
What, the shadow of Deion?
Well, yeah.
All right, well, Steve, let's talk about this a little bit here. So, now, first of all, then don't draft him. I mean, that's the simple response to that. If he drops.
Well, I want the Jets to move down 4 or 5 picks, and I love Tyler Warren.
Well, I want to stay on one thing.
Yeah.
So, if, because your main point was, if Sanders falls to 7, what do the Jets do? Well, I would not take him at Sanders myself, but I promise you somebody else would. So that wouldn't be a bad issue. That's a position of power. That's a position of leverage. The Saints at 9, you want Sanders? Yeah, that's right. Come get him. All right, we'll take this, we'll take that, we'll take this. That's fine. You could have him, but you're giving us something for him. And listen, the one thing, and I don't know how this is going to play out, and I've gotten this already a few times today, and it's not the first time it's come up. Like, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be an issue at all, but what is the true fear about Deion? Is it like Deion getting on social media after a game? Oh, what a horrendous, you know, play call by Dable on 4th and 1 with my son Shador. Hey, come on. Like, what do you think that Deion's going to do? You might not like Deion's, whether it's flash or arrogance for some of you, whatever it might be. I think Deion is old school and disciplined enough for sure to lay out. Now, the one thing you might get, here's one thing you could get. And, okay, this could be a huge distraction. Let's say the Jets, well, it wouldn't be the Jets because they just hired Glenn, but let's say the Giants get Sanders, Shador, and it's not going well. And now, midseason, he looks overwhelmed, right? Invariably, the first story is going to pop up because if Shador is on the Giants and Shador looks overwhelmed, then that means the Giants are awful again, and that means Dable is gone. So maybe without question. And so at that point, do you just get an influx of articles? Well, maybe Deion should coach the Giants. He's the one to unlock his son. You probably would see some of that, quite frankly. I'm not saying I hired Deion to coach the Giants, but I do think the Giants are big boys enough to deal with any noise that I don't even think that Deion would necessarily bring if things aren't going great for his son. I don't know. I mean, maybe he tells somebody and they plant it and, you know, maybe you get different ways to get different thoughts from Deion without being directly attributed to Deion himself. But it's social media, man. If somebody's got a gripe, it's getting out there. Whether it's Deion or Garrett Wilson or Sauce or Malik Nabers, you name it. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, I want to roll with this a little bit more, get some baseball stuff on the table as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.